Hello again, everyone. Welcome to an episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast viewing games for the Game Pass Collection for your three new perspectives during Skill Range. I am the main character of this episode, Andrew, with me. The person I wish was personally someone else.
What? That's not even close.
I used my joke early.
Yeah, that wasn't even close to what we were talking about. But okay, hi, I'm here. As always.
I have a very short memory, Keith, okay?
You threw me off.
And then with us, the romantic interest, Liz.
Hey, guys.
This week, this is dedicated to our Discord because we've had numerous people on our Discord talk about this game and wanted us to play it. So we're like, all right, we're finally going to check it out. And that is Persona 3 Reloaded. Persona 3 is a JRPG where you are playing a high school student who goes to a new dorm, a new school, and you find out that there is this evil hour going on called the Dark Hour. It's the hour right before midnight that stops time, and these evil shadows come out and start preying on the citizens. But you found out that you can summon these things called personas and fight back the shadows and save humanity, or at least the district. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to go first for this one. So Persona 3, I am going to give this a game. I had a lot of fun with it. I cannot recommend this game for everyone, because one thing I do like about this, you know, it's a JRPG, it's a turn-based JRPG. If you've played, you know, turn-based JRPGs, you kind of know what you're getting into. But majority of turn-based RPGs are always like, you're in fantasy world East Bumscrew and you're trying to save it. There's an evil guy who's collecting stones and wants to rule the world. This is a completely kind of different story of like, it's more based on a life simulation and maintaining relationships and hanging out with friends and growing your character that way through, you know, character interactions. So it's like a smaller scale JRPG. And I had a lot of fun with it, but this game can be very tedious, very tedious. You're kind of visiting five areas over and over again. The dungeon you're going to is kind of repetitive, but I still had a lot of fun with that. I thought the characters were great and I enjoyed what was going on. But yeah, so I'll give it a game. Come on, Keith. Here we go. Look at that face. He's ready to go.
I think I'm going to give it a pass.
Oh.
I don't know. It's just not for me. I just could not get myself invested at all into... I think really learning about the characters, because the combat I did start to enjoy. I was kind of having some fun with that and the way that worked, but it's so focused on all the dialogue and all of these individual characters and all the time spent and all of that. I just was like, nope, I don't want to.
Which is so surprising from a JRPG.
I know, and I get that. And I think it's pretty well known that it's normally not my genre. So like, what, Sea of Stars, I think, was one of the few that I can really say I enjoyed, at least recently, and all that. But it's going to be one of those, yeah, and like, I'll sit back and go, yeah, that was a cool thing about it. I did think that was neat. I liked that too. But if somebody's asking me to recommend a game, this isn't going to pop up on my list unless they're like, hey, do you know a good JRPG to play? Well, there we go. Now I have an option for you. But otherwise, no. It's going to be a pass for me.
It's a game for me. I really liked it. I mean, I also love that Andrew, whenever we play a game, he knows what character I'm going to love. And in this one, I was afraid I'm going to pronounce the names wrong, but Junpei?
Yep.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Favorite. What? No. You're joking.
Well, maybe not my least favorite of the people I interacted with. No, I didn't spend probably double digit hours in the gameplay overall, but anyways, I cut you off. We'll get to that.
I like games like this. I mean, I love RPGs. I love games that are story-based, character-based. It does get a little repetitive. My biggest complaint was I wanted to be able to do more in a day, because there were so many different things that I wanted to do that you can use to help your character, you know, get more charm, get more courage. And then there's fun stuff I wanted to do, like checking out the stores and shopping. Stop it!
No, you're too well.
But yeah, definitely a game for me.
Well, that was, man, say
there's,
too, you,
there's so
you
much
like
to talk about in this
games game. With relationship building and all that, like Stardew Valley, I think of, you know, Mm-hmm. It's when you like having all these different little relationship building with characters. I don't tend to care about that. Like, I just get me to the gameplay and I'll strengthen my bonds with their higher attacks.
See, it's even when reading, like, there's this one book that I have tried to read multiple times, but I hate every character. Like, there's nothing redeeming so far about any of them.
Is that East of Eden?
Yes. I, like, thought I was going to love that book. I really did. And I actually haven't tried to read it in a couple of years, but I always think about that book when it comes to, like, not liking characters. There's going to be somebody that you're rooting for, or, like, if the story has to be, like, very interesting. And yeah, that's that one book that maybe I should try it again.
I feel like, yeah, every time you like get halfway and you're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah.
That's like, this is quit. Oh, man. All right. There is so much to talk about with this game. This I think it'd be an interesting episode. So the story. We're going to start off with this. As I said, the overall premise of the story, you are playing this really blank slate of a character. I'm 26 hours in this game, and the only thing I know about this character is that your parents are dead. That is it. That is, like, all I really know about your character. And that
I didn't know that.
You're a second-year student. Yeah, they say it at the very beginning, but it's super quick.
Okay.
At first, they don't fully confirm it. They're like, oh, your parents. Sorry. And, like, that's it. That's kind of the dialogue. But later on, I'm assuming your parents are dead. And then eventually, they did kind of straight up say, like, yeah, your parents are dead. It's like, okay. But, like, I'm 26 hours in. That's all I know about my character. And what's kind of annoying about the character, too, is, you know, you create a person's name, but there's no other customization of the character. So you can't choose the gender. You can't choose how they look, whatever. So it's kind of weird where it's like, oh, I feel like this game's trying to be like, oh, this is your character, who you are, who you want to be as, and who you play. Because there are dialogue choices. But the dialogue choices, you just want to pick what other people want to hear. Because if you don't, you get punished for it. So I'm like, I don't really feel like I have a choice in the dialogue. But anyway. The story is, like I said, there's these shadows that are appearing. You know, this giant tower appears during the dark hour in the middle of your school called the Tartarus. And you have to climb this tower and try to unravel the mysteries. Why these shadows are appearing? Why are they preying on humans? And then every full moon, a boss comes out. So you're kind of racing against the clock to being prepared. Make sure your character's leveled up, geared up, because there's a boss coming. So you have these moments of, like, trying to level up and get ready for it. But the most wild thing about this game, I want to know who thought of this. So in Persona 3, you summon your persona. Personas are these characters that live within your mind. They're supposed to be a reflection of the character, and you summon it and it helps fight the monsters in the battle. But your character has the special ability of switching to different personas. While everyone else only has one persona, you can have multiple and you can switch them. But the way you summon these personas is by getting a gun and shooting yourself in the head.
I like that the intro is so, like, when you first turn on the game, there's that, like, long cutscene.
Yeah, it's like an anime intro scene, yeah.
Yeah, you were watching me watch it, and I was like, I'm really kind of getting sick of watching people, like, blow their heads off. And then you're like, get used to it. And I was like, you're joking? You see this, like, the entire game? And he's like, yep.
Like, I'm curious, like, at the boardroom, I'm just like, all right, guys, we're going to have these creatures that you summon. And some guy, I swear, must have been taking some sort of drugs, was like, what if, like, people, like, shot themselves in the head and, like,
no wonder why Yukari was, like, nervous about it.
Yeah, and not only that, they don't explain these guns. They luckily, after about the 20-hour mark, they explained that there's no bullets in it. Okay, so I'm like, all right, so I'm summoning these things some other magical way. But you have cartridges, but they don't explain how these guns work. What's the purpose of it? And your character is about to be attacked, and a gun drops to your feet, and his first instinct is, I'm going to pick up this gun and shoot myself in the head. It's like, who thought of this?
And see,
besides that, it's just weird.
So that's, no, like, I can't say the whole game, because I have not touched anywhere near the whole game. I can, and I will say that. But despite having this, like, kind of in-depth dialogue and relationship, character building, and all of these things, there is just some really, really weird writing moments, like, you, and to what you're saying. Like, they do write it in a way that I get it. He looks over and his partner there, she's about to, you know, pull the trigger with it. But I don't know. It's just a bizarre, bizarre setting. Like, there's got to be a more reasonable, at the very least, like, if you're going to try to make it some big artsy reason why you're doing this, make sure you start to explain that, as much as I still don't care, because my other issue with it, I'm not trying to like get into gameplay, but the fact that it's every single time you use a move, holy crap, it's a way too much. And that is, it's just an early on, it was a gripe of mine that I was like, this is just too much. And I was really getting sick of it.
Oh, real quick, I guess, before we progress, for people who don't know, Keith, I'm assuming you've never played a Persona game before.
I have not.
Okay. Neither have I, and Liz, obviously, you have not played a Persona game. So we are also coming into this episode, never experienced any Persona games. So that was the first question I asked our Discord is, do I need to play any of the other Persona games? They said no. They're all kind of a standalone game. In the other Persona games, they are summoned different ways, but for whatever reason in this one, they thought a gun shooting yourself in the head as a way to summon Personas. Weird. So for me, I got like, at first I was the same way, like seeing, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cringy. Like them just shooting themselves in the head repeatedly. But after a while I phased it out. Like to me, like the animations are really repetitive. So like, I just never noticed it much anymore, but it's just a weird thing. Like you said, I didn't quite get the messaging at first. So this game first gives you a warning of like, hey, there's a lot of cases of violence, suicide, and bullying in this game. Like, you know, you may want to pace yourself. And so like, that's what I was thinking this whole game is about, of like, oh, is this meant to be like, don't commit suicide. This is all about, you know, you need to be strong. Like a way to cope kind of thing. It's like, I thought the messaging of this game was going to be like, this isn't the way you're supposed to do it, blah, blah, blah. But like, I never felt like I was getting that message. It was just a thing you're doing and they don't explain it. And it's just like, okay, so like that's just what we do.
Yeah. And I do, you know, kind of off topic, but I was also thinking back to what you said about like the dialogue choices and stuff. But I was thinking it was interesting that you don't really, I felt like this game you would kind of be able to pick if you were going to go more good or go more evil.
Yeah.
And so that's a, hearing what you're saying, that's what I was kind of like thinking about, where, but it's also all,
well, I think you kind of can't, not to get ahead, but there is an achievement I revealed and it said get the good ending.
Well, but I mean, when it comes to like the dialogue choices though, you're also trying to do these like social links so that you can, because you combine your personas to make like even better ones.
Yeah, which is a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, if you have the correct social links and it can kind of like buff up that new persona. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, so for me, it just, like, I kind of wish that there was that aspect to it.
Yeah. But this story, though, is just, I loved the characters. I'm with you, Liz. I enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed this relationship building that's going on. So the overall story for me is just, it wasn't feeding enough for me to care about the overall story. But like I said, majority of this game is mostly about, like, social building and, you know, having friends and going on dates with them and, you know, building a stronger bond between them. And I enjoyed the characters. I thought that was a fun element to it. But it is at least nice of a change of pace that, like I said, it's not like a typical JRPG of, here's a big bad guy. He's trying to collect some sort of object to be super powerful and end the world. And you're trying to stop him. And you're going on this big grand adventure, exploring this massive land. This is so much more confined and just focused. That it's an easier kind of like JRPG to play, because, you know, that is like one thing that's difficult where it's just like, oh man, like here I go traveling through this wasteland again, and you're going through a whole nother area. And like some of those can be kind of a slog, but this is all super quick, like fast traveling, like very little like exploring, which can turn people off, but I liked the design of it. But yeah,
like
story,
the school, you don't really have to, you know, worry about where you're going kind of thing.
But yeah, overall, I like the character building. So why didn't you like any of the characters, Keith?
I found them annoying because, I mean, I go back to, I don't have a wide breadth of characters I interacted with. I have a small handful, basically the base characters. I think, was it the ramen kid, or as I'm going to call him, but he wanted to,
Kenji?
I have no idea. He wanted to ask out a teacher.
And oh, just, yeah, that's a weird storyline.
And just, that's the whole, like, it's another weird thing. It's like a high school simulator, but it's just uncomfortably sexual. It seems like everybody is just like, oh, hey, just you're talking like to a girl, school. You're a guy and you're a girl and they're a girl. So that, like, oh my goodness. think it's like a romance sim, and I don't care for that level of dealing with characters. I don't want to formulate and cultivate relationships with weird computer characters. It's just not a thing I do. And so these types of games
you're missing out, Keith.
Don't do much for me. It's a personal thing. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just saying it's what I don't care for.
I do wish that there was more backstory with the characters. I think that actually would have made me like them even more.
The main characters or all the characters?
The main characters, but also the side characters. I mean, you kind of learn a bit with how you pronounce his name, Miyamoto. Like as that you like you're getting to know like him a bit more.
Yeah.
As the story progresses and stuff, but I just feel like I wanted more with the characters, especially like when you're joining clubs and stuff. And this is what I went like was just saying at the beginning with like wanting to do more in a day. Where you just like go to the club, like for instance, say you're going to track, but nothing really happens. You don't really like chat with them too much.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing.
It's very much.
I noticed that bothered me. It was like, and I'm glad it just continues this way, is it would just be like, all right, here's a thing you can do. Choose one of these three things. Here's one or two actions to choose. Here's a quick little cutscene of doing that. And now, oh, hey, it's nighttime. And then go choose within these five selections. And everyone's always yelling at you to go to bed. Leave me alone. I'll go to bed when I want to. But it's at the same time, it's just one little sequence of like, all right, run and pick one of these three things. Run and pick one of these things. Or you go to the dungeon and then you spend a while in the dungeon. And then that's kind of, you go back to the just step, 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 step. And I wanted to be able to like do it because I think it makes sense that, you know, it's when you do, like, you go to the arcade, it plays the game for you. You don't play the game, but it's also a fun aspect where there's a fun mini game I could be playing and I'm not doing it. I'm just watching him do something. So it just gives you a set skill number or whatever. But I agree with that and then some, Liz. That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you about playing a mini game, but I also don't. Because I also don't want to be replaying a minigame that's awful over and over again. One thing I wished more of
Rad skateboarder.
In school. Oh my gosh. Yeah, actually, that's what I was
thinking. Wait, but I thought, because I didn't play any of the arcade games, but.
Well, you don't play any of them.
No, sorry. I assume that there were some, because a guy says, oh, you can play this and this today.
Yeah.
So I assumed that it kind of rotated, like, based on the day, like, what games they had.
Yep.
So that's kind of disappointing that you don't actually get to play.
Yeah, you just watch your character play. That was why I went there first. I was like, oh, neat. I'm going to go play this little, like, mini arcade game in the game. And then I just watched him sit there. It's like, you earned 1 point for that. Now go to nighttime.
So, yeah, and the thing I was kind of disappointed in is school. So every once in a while in school, a teacher, you know, you'll be in a lesson and you have different options that'll happen. Sometimes the teacher will ask a question, which are kind of like, if you paid attention to what the teacher was saying, you can answer the question. But some are completely out of left field where they're just like, what does this word mean? And it's just like, good thing I have Google.
Oh, yeah. I actually had to look. One was like a diagram. Which one is not a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
and I'm like, excuse me. It's been a long time since I've been in school.
But I was really hoping that it did mini games with school. Did you ever play Bully, Keith? From Rockstar?
I remember it, but I never played it.
So that's what I was more hoping from. When you played Bully, like every once, like you had classes, but it would be like, oh, you have English today and math today. When you went to English, it had a specific mini game and you could do poorly or you could do well. And if you're doing well, your grade is going up and you get more rewards for doing well in the class. And that's what I was kind of hoping this school would do. Like whenever you did classes, to have kind of that sort of mini game that Bully had, because it was actually a lot of fun. And it like, it made it rewarding to make sure you're going to school, make sure you're kind of working on the grades. And because the rewards were like accumulative of like getting better because your grades were getting higher. And this, it's just like, oh, if you got the question right, you get 1 point to your academics. Like it was, the reward was so small. And it's just like, ah. So I didn't care if I got the question wrong because it was just like, it didn't level you up that much. And I wanted more from the schooling.
It's also weird thinking about how long it's been since, you know, I was in high school. I will say a couple months ago, I had a dream. I was back in my old high school. I was like, I really need to graduate. I'm getting too old for this.
I'm in my 30s. I need to get out of here.
Yeah, I woke up and like I was babies. Like, what is wrong with me?
That's
good. Can we also talk about, too, like no. When at the beginning of the game, I thought it was so inappropriate that they have a camera in a teenage boy's bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, they don't mention that anymore. Was an okay idea? Like, for me, it just, like, I would rather someone, like, just open the door a little bit when I was sleeping and looked in than have a camera in there. Can you imagine?
I do think it's funny that you join the organization and see this, but they never mentioned, you're never like, is that a camera in my room?
Yeah.
Carry on.
They never mention it.
There's living shadows out there. I guess you just, some things you just don't ask questions about anymore. If anything, the fact that she's like, hey, here's a sword, let's go. And you're just like, okay.
I do think that's funny too. I'm just like, yeah, before you, the first fight, she's like, oh, you might want to take this, a full-fledged sword.
This is a weird Tuesday night, but okay.
I know. And that's what I think that's funny is like, when you first see that girl, she gets the gun and points at her head, but gets knocked away. I instantly would assume of, oh man, this girl's just trying to end herself. Like, she doesn't want to deal with this monster. But then your next like thought is, I'm going to pick this gun up and do the exact same thing and shoot myself in the head.
What about when I'm actually confused. So at the beginning, he's walking around and he's seeing all those, like, the coffins and stuff.
It doesn't question. Yeah. Pools of blood everywhere. And he's just like, no, oh, this is exactly typical for this district.
But there was a class in school where they were talking about magic. So is magic in this world real? And that's why he was just like, oh, someone magically put coffins there.
No, the teacher explains that he doesn't quite always mean magic and that he's more using it as, like, loose phrase. I don't know. It's weird. Some of the stuff you learn in the classes and the things they say is just kind of like, this is so weird. You have the one teacher who's super obsessed with one specific era of, like, feudal Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
All of the teachers, well, at least two of the teachers I can think of, just all they did was complain about teaching the subject that they had to teach because they wanted to teach something else. It was, I think, the English teacher and the history teacher, or he wanted to teach feudal samurai Japan, and she wanted to teach, like, a certain era of poetry or something, and was always mad about it. What are you saying, though? I had a thought about it. I forgot.
There were some side stories. Like, I kept putting it off, but I wanted to find out more about the older couple in the bookstore. Oh, so there were people. Is that a sad one?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. No, I don't want to. See, you know what? Games like this, you know that there's going to be some hidden.
There's one I really want to know more about. You probably haven't met it. I mean, you're the closest to my playtime, Liz. But the Gourmet King, he's like this chubby kid who you need to have, like, level 3 charm in order to talk to. But you find out his story is kind of all over the place. He's part of, like, a cult. But his brother, I think, was part of the cult, but his brother died. But also he keeps talking like his brother's alive. It's really mysterious, but it's actually really cool. I do like the side stories.
Also, I mean, I feel like until you meet somebody that is, you know, like you, that isn't affected by it, by the dark hour, I would think I was crazy. Yeah. I wouldn't tell anybody about it. And then also the little boy at the beginning. That he doesn't, yeah, and he doesn't really tell anybody. It's like, it's kind of important.
I know.
See, with the velvet room, it's like, no, you should probably say something.
That's what I think is weird, too. Yeah, I had my character say that. He goes, oh, what about that contract I signed? They all were like, what contract? And your character just goes, okay, and just doesn't say anything. I'd be like, there was a little boy who just made me sign the contract. What did I just sign? No, your character never brings it up. Also,
that little boy was so creepy. I would have read that contract. I would think that was like a little, like, demon spawn or something.
It's teleporting in front of you.
Yeah, like, and you don't read the contract.
Well, I think basically all it said was just like, you're responsible for your own actions or something. But
there's definitely more to that contract if you have like a floating boy in front of you.
And it's like the middle of the night. Like, what is he even doing up?
You just saw a bunch of coffins and blood everywhere, and you're just like, I'll sign this paper.
Listen, you just was you he wearing jail clothes? Train
it looks like it.
Or something. You're tired.
Which would you guys name your character?
Well, D's nuts, obviously.
I don't know why the first thing that came to my mind was Peter Cottontail.
See, I figured if I'm going full-blown fantasy, I got to name my character Penis Long.
There you go.
It's great.
Some of the phrasing is really spectacular.
Oh, my gosh. I just, my mature self here, I'm just constantly giggling. It's just, there's so many times it's writing the character's name, and it's just, I forgot that's my character's name. And I'm like, whoa, this game here. That's like, oh, wait, that's right. I changed my character's name to that.
We are no longer a PG puppet.
Oh, please.
It's things like just the way your character is treated that I think put me off of the dialogue so much. Is your character is that dead inside, you don't say anything. Well, no, your character does have at least written dialogue, I think, from time to time.
And every once in a while, he has a voice line, but it's like a one-word voice line.
Which I contest that it happens more than the Discord claims, because I found plenty of times where they're just like, all right, then. And it would just be this whole paragraph of text of things that they just don't say. I'm like, well, what? Why would this cutting and choosing when you're going to actually have full dialogue? Like, for the most part, it is full dialogue. But there's just a lot of times where I found it was just half text and half dialogue. And it mostly was when you were interacting with just your character. Like if they were interacting with groups of characters, that's when there was full dialogue. But if it was just you and somebody else, it was just a dead conversation and it didn't feel like it was ever meaningful.
But I love that with the character Junpei.
Yep.
I always look to you. I'm like, did I say it right? I loved his enthusiasm. He was like, we get a chance to save the world. This is awesome. Like, let me kill all the enemies. Like, he's so gun-ho and excited about...
He's always the first dead in a horror movie. Because he's this is awesome, guys. And he's the clown. Absolutely, he's the one who runs out with a baseball bat. I've got it. Dead. By June.
But he's the real hero. I mean, the main character, he has all these advantages. And like, I don't know. I think that he's the unsung hero, and everyone always kind of like makes fun of him, kind of. And I mean, it's like he's really like, if you get rid of him, I mean, I feel like the game would be so much more bland.
Yeah,
well, it's the same with Alan Wake. That character, forget his name, Barry. You get rid of Barry. What is Alan Wake?
I'm pretty sure I can't say Barry either.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, he's just nothing.
You just don't like funny men.
Well, yeah, there's a real big niche of people who are but no, I just think it has more to do with like, I don't know, maybe again, I'm confusing what this game is as a life simulator versus an RPG versus other things. And I just think that it's an overall seems like a very serious overtone. And then he's just this constant clown of a character. And he just comes off as annoying to me.
He does get complex. Mm-hmm. The moment I'm at, he kind of brings some things up and it's like, okay, it's kind of sad.
See, I feel like I'm thinking about all my friends. They're pretty like high energy, like let's get it kind of thing. And I feel like I surround myself with that because I'm not that.
Why were you into me?
And so...
Thanks, Liz.
And so like I feel like I really like characters like that. I think that's why I like him so much, because it's like, I mean, I don't think any of the characters are like woe is me, but that for like a long game can get a little tiring.
Yeah,
which sounds terrible to say, but it's also like you're saving the world. It's
I mean I'd be hypocritical I guess if I disagreed with that fully, because I think that was one of my complaints about, well, Remnant, and then what was the last one we played that I was... Either way, the character constantly just walking around grunting and moaning and complaining about how everything is awful. Like, yeah, no kidding. It's like the end of the freaking world. Of course, everything's terrible. Get over it. So to that point, yes. If everyone's constantly dark and brooding, it would be just as bad. But yeah, he just annoyed me.
Because is it Mitsuru who is like the... She's head of student council and stuff, and she's got like a lot of weight on her shoulders, but she never complains about it. She's just like, let's just do this. And I also like they had this weird dynamic with her and the other girl, where the other girl was like kind of like unsure about her. And so I was wondering if later
you find out why.
I was wondering if later in the game something came out about why she was feeling like almost like she didn't trust her.
Yeah,
what is it?
I don't want to spoil it for the podcast, but her family is a rich corporation, and there was an accident that might have caused harm to her family.
Mm. I suspect there was something like that. I figured it was that, or you're going to find out like they caused this whole thing, and like she's trying to vindicate her family or something.
Yeah, and do you get to fight with the injured guy, or is he injured the entire game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I also, so this is going to sound really bad, but I feel like I was instantly mistrustful of the school director, the Suji.
The chairman?
Yeah. Because the way that he, it's...
Because it's pun jokes?
Nope. Nope.
It's the hair.
I feel like there is...
Glasses.
I have seen actors that look just like him, and they're always bad guys in movies.
The turtleneck.
Always. If there's something about like the usually it's a teacher, not a school director or whatever he is, but they're not good guys. And so like I instantly saw him and I was like, is he on both teams? Like I instantly, do you know something?
No, not yet. But I honestly have the same thoughts too. I'm like, this guy's probably a bad guy. Especially too that they're trying to make him so lighthearted with constantly making cheesy pun jokes. I'm like, yeah, this guy's probably gonna be bad.
I want to Google it because yeah, there's something about like instantly looking at him, like all my alarm bells went off.
You gotta Google it? You mean you're not gonna put in 64 hours in this game in order to beat it and find out? Yeah, so anyway, the time to beat this game is very long.
I mean, I like the game, but
I mean it's a typical JRPG. But real quick though. Yeah, as I said, 64 hours to beat the game. But the one thing that's so good about this game, it's really good to start and stop this game. It's on xCloud, and it's touch controls on xCloud because it's very simple. But this game I found to be very easy to really kind of pick up and play. Like 90% of the time, you can just save wherever you are. If you're mid-battle, that's the only time you kind of can't save. You can kind of lose some progress. But I loved how easy this game was to pick up and play.
I kind of wish that I knew a better way to play, though. So, what I mean, like, so they do have great tutorials. Like, I felt like I understood what was going on. But, for instance, like, you were telling me that it's better to do long runs in the dungeon. And so, for me, I wasn't doing it like that. Because a lot of the times, the woman that is kind of guiding you would be like, oh, you should probably head back. Even if my health wasn't bad. But this is at the beginning, of course. So, I thought I was supposed to do these, like, shorter runs. Where you're like, no, like, get those, like, XP cards and then really go ham. And then you can have, like, a bunch of days to do other stuff. To kind of build your skills and stuff. So, I felt like I was doing it wrong. And you know me, whenever I feel like I'm doing a game wrong, I just want to start over at the beginning. I didn't. But I also loved later on, there was a time when she said that I was stronger than a lot of the enemies on the floor and that I should do auto fight. And I started implementing that, not like every time or like if I saw a certain enemy, I'm like, I know his weakness. I'm going to just do a quick thing like that. But I actually like made it so much more fun because I just went through that floor so fast.
See, I mean, I liked that you could kind of just skip through things, though, too, by just pretty easily running past it, because there got to be points where I'm like, I just need to go another floor or two. I don't really care about individually fighting these things. It wasn't like I was afraid of them. I just didn't want to waste time with the fight, so I would just run past them. But, yeah, overall, I did like the fighting, because I liked that I'm sure you could turn it off as well and just let it be a thing you know. But the way that the assist was built into it, where it automatically told you, okay, this character has an attack that will be the enemy is weak to, or the, you know, what was the other thing that it told you? Or it would kind of highlight, it would let you hit the assist button and highlight the enemy that had a weakness or whatever. So like it gave that pretty nice guiding hand throughout it, and it made it, there were some of the early enemies I had a harder time differentiating because there was like two of the ones that were just like floating puddles of mud that looked the same, but you had to, if you knew the difference in the name, it was, then I remembered it and it was fine. But yeah, I kind of liked that, and then the all-out attack and all of that stuff.
Yeah, it took me forever to remember that you could do the right bumper for the weakness and stuff, and then you told me about it again. I'm like, oh yeah, they did tell me that. And I forgot to do it because at that point I hadn't really been fighting. I didn't need it. So for me, like, that's why it's like, I feel like I needed a little bit more guidance, but I also realized that it's me. Like, I'm the problem.
So the combat, typical JRPG, like I said, it's turn-based RPG. As I said, everyone has their own type of persona, but you being the special character, the main character, can have multiple different personas that you can swap as you battle. You're leveling up. You're leveling up your character, getting new equipments. You have, obviously, health, magic. Magic is what you use to in order to summon the persona. But, yeah, one thing I love about this, I found the combat to be so quick and easy. So, as we mentioned, you know, there's different elements. Fire, ice, lightning, light, dark, pierce, brute, or blunt, and slashing. And if you can find a weakness on somebody, if you hit the weakness of the enemy, they get knocked out. Get them all knocked down, you do an all-out attack. Everyone jumps in, does massive damage, it usually ends the fight right there. I can usually finish, you know, a fight within like a round or two. Very quick and easy. What difficulty did you guys play on? I played normal.
Yeah, I was on normal.
I did easy, but I felt like the combat, like
it looks very easy.
It was, and for me, but that wasn't my main thing with the game though. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like I felt like I could have gone higher, but it wouldn't have changed my enjoyment. It actually might have like brought it down because it was more interesting than the other stuff. I just wanted to get through the floors and loot the treasure chests. Like, I didn't really care about the battles as much.
I enjoyed the battles, but it did get a bit repetitive. Like I said, repetition is going to be a lot in this game. You know, you're seeing a lot of the same floors, hearing a lot of the same music.
But I expected it. Same areas. So I feel like if there's a game that I expect the repetition, it doesn't bother me. Because sometimes I actually find it very relaxing. And this game, I thought it was very relaxing. All of a sudden, an hour went by and I was like, thanks.
Yeah, the personas are kind of like a Pokemon kind of catching system. You can only carry so many on you. You know, depending on your level, eventually levels up, you can carry more personas. But as Liz said, you can get these personas and combine them, which is kind of a way of evolving them into a new type of persona. You know, combine a light and a dark one. It kind of creates a mishmash character. I enjoy the persona system of collecting these characters. And like, just, it's just a fun collection mechanic that was just enjoying, like, I just had enjoyed doing.
Cool.
But yeah, the dungeons I thought were just fine. I thought it was fun.
Well, that's kind of my gripe, is I wanted more from the dungeons. The game is focused on a lot of other elements, and that's fine, but that's one of the things of why I couldn't get into the gameplay. It was so heavily focused on the things that I didn't want to be focused on that I just couldn't get excited about any of the repetition, because all of the repetition were things I didn't want to do for the most part. But with the fusion system, one of the things that I actually really liked the most was the, what did they call it? The smart fusion? Or
yeah.
Where essentially it would just look at, okay, here's your inventory of cards based on what you have. Here's the top five cards you can make. Or I don't know, maybe it would eventually expand to even more than that. I think it was just, that's what I was seeing or had availability to build. But it just gave you a selection. So if you were looking for a certain one to build or whatever it may be, you don't have to look through the list of them or remember what you need to build. It just tells you what's available. And I thought that was a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, and if you don't have the persona but caught it or saw it, you can actually just spend money and like buy it and resummon it in order to fuse it with another one.
Oh, I didn't realize you. Well, actually, I think I did realize you could do it. Does the cost go down if you've caught it or like
picked
it up or whatever?
It's the same, I think.
No, it's just.
No.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, it's definitely a nice thing that you can kind of fill it in, because I feel like as you probably go, you can probably start to roll money pretty easily. I was pretty consistently low.
Money is very important in this game, though.
I was going to ask you, Andrew, because you were at like 91,000, and where I'm at in the game, like I just need more money to like better equip people. So, I mean, why do you still have 91,000? Is it like super expensive?
No. Well, I just finished a boss. So usually, like I said, every month there's a full moon, you have to fight a boss, and then the game kind of progresses, you know. Eventually, because there's a cap when you're going up on the floors in the Tartarus, the dungeon, eventually it stops you and says, all right, you're going to have to take a break. Eventually it'll open up and you basically have to beat a boss after a certain time, and then the floors expand. And every time the floor expands, obviously more game opens up. There's new personas you can get, new equipment you can buy. So I just finished a boss, so I have a bunch of money because I'm waiting to level up everyone and buy new equipment. But no, money's pretty hard to get. This is a thing that's kind of fun with this. So the dungeon, the Tartarus, is a very risk and reward of, you know, you can keep going. If you keep going, like the rewards start to accumulate because they have the shuffle system. If you can finish a fight with an all-out attack, as I said, knock everyone down with a weakness and then do a knockout blow, there's this card system. A bunch of cards appear. Do you want extra XP? Do you want extra money? Do you want to heal your teammates? Do you want a new persona? This is how you collect the personas. Like there's these different cards you can get. And the more you're in a dungeon, the cards start to get a bit stronger. You know, you get these I don't want to get the full system because it's there's a lot of systems going on, but I love that this game is very much like, yeah, just keep staying in the dungeon. If you're good, actually, this is the first RPG I actually brought consumables and I was actually using consumables because I'm like, I want to keep going. I don't want to leave. I have a good streak going right now. So I'm like, all right, people, here's some consumables. Keep going. But I found the dungeons to be pretty enjoyable because I love that shuffle system, that shuffle card system.
It took me a good couple of hours before I realized the difference in Persona things that actually took HP. It just, I thought it was blue because it was like high, like
physical attacks cost HP.
Yeah, no, I just didn't look at the HP and the SP thing at the top right of it. I just saw the number and the color. I'm like, oh, it's probably just because it's a higher number. It's probably a better move. Whatever it may be, didn't even look at the letters there.
Did you like almost kill a couple of your people?
No, because it definitely doesn't let you do it.
Okay. I don't know. I never got that low.
But
I love this game. This game also too, like you have a lot of magic. Like I feel like a lot of RPGs I'm playing, it's like you can cast like six spells and it's like, now you're out of mana. Hopefully you brought consumables. In this game, I'm like, it's very generous with how much mana you have.
I assume it's because you're intended to try and kind of just endurance.
Stay in the dungeon.
Your way through them. So it gives you the ability to get survivable pretty quickly.
And I was nervous too, because the only time you go to the dungeon, it's a thing called the dark hour. So I was like, crap, is this thing could it constantly be timed? Like, oh, you literally have 1 hour? No, it just, that's what they call it. But the clock stops when you're in the dungeon. So you technically have unlimited time. So I'm glad about that because I was like, is this game going to be all about like time management? It's kind of not.
Well, that just made me think of the Velvet Room. And I mean, they make them seem like they're not on your team, but they're helping you.
Yeah.
Do you find out more about them? Was it?
Not
Igor
yet.
Igor and Elise. Oh, it's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Yeah. Wow, Keith. Pretty rude. But no, I haven't really learned too much about them. I know they're from like another planet or dimension because you kind of take Elizabeth out on dates and she's never seen anything in your world.
Oh.
Yeah. That's about all I know.
Wait, so you said you have different romance options?
Yep.
She's like, well, she's just one of the options.
I don't know if she's actually technically an option, but I know at least your party members are.
All of them?
That I actually don't know. I don't know if he can romance any of the guys.
Liz wants to romance Junpei.
All the girls. No, I meant the. I meant because I just felt like Mitsuru.
Oh, she is. She's.
Yeah, for some reason I just assumed that she wasn't.
No, she is. But I probably should have googled who is a romance option, but I didn't. Because also too, I know there's other characters and I want to spoil it, so I was like, yeah. And also, I'm partly lazy. Doing my homework for the episode, but it's. But anyway, yeah, besides gameplay, I mean, there really isn't too much. We already kind of talked about how the day system works when you're at home and you're building up relationships. I wish there was a little bit more to that mechanic. It just, I don't know, it felt really repetitive of just like, you hung out with this guy, the end, all right, now it's nighttime.
You know, I really don't want to skip ahead on you, but I just have to ask Keith his thoughts on the music.
No, that's fine. That's what's going to happen next. I mean, I have some thoughts on the music. But Keith, you mentioned it in the Discord. Keith, tell everyone, how's the music in Persona
3? I'm 50-50 on the music. There are parts where the music is great. It's like orchestral or it's, you know, just overall, just some music, whatever. Like, I think when you go into the Velvet Room is one of those times, very, very nice. At times it's fitting even. And then they're just points of the game where there's music and I don't know why it exists there personally. Like every time you go into Paulownia Mall or any of these downtown areas, it's like Evanescence and Limp Bizkit had a baby.
You know that band Coalescence?
Yeah, and it's called Coalescence is what it's called. Limp Bizkit, Evanescence had a baby and it's called Coalescence and it doesn't make any sense. And it's wicked loud. It's repetitive. Holy moly. I don't care for it.
So for me, the music, just recently, Microsoft had a partnership show and Persona 3 was there. And they said, hey, the expansion pass. And I was like, okay, at this time we didn't play the game. So I'm like, all right, what's the expansion pass? Like, I'm assuming it's just DLC. and it's like first wave is more music. And it's like more music. It's like, that's really lame. But like, who's going to buy the expansion pass for that? Then I played Persona 3 and I went, man, I really wish I had more music. So thank God for that expansion pass. I'm the same way. The music is very repetitive. At first, I'm like, this music is a jam. Like, it fits really well. It goes well, but you are listening to that same song. And it's the same first 5 seconds of a song. Because when you're in school, it's this, upbeat poppy song with a female singer. And it works well. But it, like I said, you're only hearing for like the first 5 seconds. The one that I found the most annoying is when you're in your dorm room. It's this like really lazy rap song.
Yes.
Of this guy telling you to dance. I don't care. I'm just laying in my bed, minding my biz. Mind your own biz. He rhymes biz with biz and then rhymes biz with is. And it's just like, okay, this is, and then follows up with, hey, 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 hey. Like someone doing a really awful freestyling, but can't think of anything else to rhyme. So he just starts saying, hey. As soon as I listen to those lyrics to that song, it always sticks out to
curious.
Me. And I'm like, I get so annoyed by that song.
Would it be better? Because I assume it would actually change. I don't know. And I didn't try it. If you changed the, like, overall voice dialogue to, I assume it would be Japanese as the original, is the music also dubbed in Japanese with similar but probably better and it's just bad translation into English?
I would assume no.
No? You think it's completely different music?
Possibly.
Because that...
I don't know.
Now I'm curious, actually.
I doubt it's changed. I don't know.
Either way, I didn't even think it was fitting at times, though. It's just like you're in a casual social experience of just talking to someone before school, and it's this guy yelling at you in weird mumbly rap, but it's not rap, and it's not very good. The music itself isn't all that bad. It's a little bit jazzy. The dialogue.
Honestly, if the music didn't have lyrics,
I think that's probably it. I think if you ripped out the lyrics and the overall voice of the music, I wouldn't mind it as much because, by golly, that was what was driving me nuts.
Yeah, the same. Like, so the DLC too. Unfortunately, it only adds music to the battlegrounds in the dungeon. So yeah, I have it random for that. But yeah, you can't really change the music for like the life scenarios, that's what was kind of getting on my nerves. It's just that really lazy rap song. I'm like, get me out of the door before the guy starts singing. It's like, get me out of here. I will say, like I said, this game is really easy to pick up and play, and for like cloud and for like, you know, just playing on the go. This is an easy game too to just drop and maybe pick up within a month. You like the mechanics and everything in it is very easy to do. I think that's part of the issue is that we played this game too much in a short time. But even then, I don't know. I feel like at this point too, I'm already like 30 something hours in the game and I'm like, all right, these lyrics. Well, that's actually in game, but that's probably not accurate. I'm probably like 12 or 14 hours in, I think. I'm halfway. You're supposed to kill 12 bosses and it says I've killed 6. But yeah, the music. I gotta say though, there's a lot of voice acting and I actually like the voice acting. The voice acting brings a lot of personality to the characters. I know you're saying, Keith, that there's sometimes just noises, but I agree with the Discord. I feel like there's not as many times where it's just people grunting. The most of the time they do is when they're talking to your character, because obviously you're creating a custom name. Every once in a while, they replace your name with leader. They call you leader because you're the leader of the group. But overall, though, I loved the voice acting. I thought the voice acting was really good.
It's a product of me and dialoguing characters and games and all of these things. The dialogue was fine. Like the voice acting was good. It's just the words they were saying were so empty and blech to me. Like I said, it's like every guy that like male character was just a flat, like, ooh, what are the girls doing? Ooh, what are the girls doing? In what I experienced and seemed to, and now again, surface level.
You're telling me you weren't like that in high school, Keith?
But there's a reason I don't want to go back and do a high school simulator. High school sucked. I didn't think high school was a great time. I want to go back and do that again.
I should pull up some of your old Facebook status posts from high school, Keith.
What's that?
I should pull up some of your old Facebook high school statuses.
I didn't have Facebook in high school. Thank you very much.
Sorry, MySpace.
I got on Facebook when you had to have a college email address to get it. Thank you very much. I am that age.
So many lyrics.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't disagree. I was a terrible human being, but I don't want to go back and relive it.
You're terrible. You're just a high schooler.
Yeah. I don't like the person I was in high school. I don't want to go relive it. I just go back to that. I've said that multiple times.
I felt like one of the voice actors sounded like, it's a famous voice actor. I don't know who it is, but he was an Archer. He was like the...
Cyril?
Yeah.
So I don't know who character you're thinking that is, though, but...
No, that wouldn't be, because that's...
Is it Bill Parnell? Like his name is?
Maybe, I don't know. But it's still, like, some of the voice actors I didn't think really fit, especially for teenagers. Overall, I didn't dislike any of the voice actors. Like, I think they did a good job, but it just, like, didn't fit for me. But, I mean...
Well, I think that's part of, like, one of the things, too, like, that was weird and kind of annoying. Not annoying, but just... didn't make sense as the voice acting. None of them felt like high schoolers. It was like a bad 90s sitcom where, you know, they're all 35 years old, but playing 15-year-olds. Because even the little sprites they drew for him, if they just said that those characters were 28-year-old and this was like a business and you were infiltrating your corporate building was the Tartarus of a, like, okay, all of these characters still fit exactly as they are without any change to their voice or their overall look. It was just, they didn't feel like high school characters.
Yeah. But then again, like, I mean, high school in Japan is way different than it is like in the United States, though. I think they're older usually in their grades. Because also, if you noticed, you mostly have school on Saturdays. Don't have that in the United States.
Maybe. I don't. There could be like cultural things that I'm missing with it, but
it makes me think of Greece. You know, you watch it as an adult and you're like, those are not kids. That guy looks 40.
He's got gray hair.
There was a meme of, you remember the show Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yes.
There was one. There's a high school student, and the guy legitimately has a full-on bald spot in the back of his head.
No, I know a couple people who started balding in high school.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I've known people who are balding. This guy had a full-on, like, monk bald spot. Like,
no, yeah, I know. I knew two people. They didn't go to my school, but I met them afterwards, and they were telling me about it, that they're bald when I met them. And they're like, yeah, I got a huge bald spot in high school. And it just kept receding.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually a thing. Well, that poor actor like probably really was.
No, because even too, he looked like he was 40 from the back of his head too.
Just it wasn't the just beer. A
bald spot. Yeah. He had a beer. But yeah, so the voice acting is good. What's the other thing? Oh, graphics.
Well, the Tartarus is very samey, and most of the places are very samey. It
changes, but not much.
Overall, I like the design and the look, though. The colors, yeah. The art style. I liked simple. All of that. I just didn't think anything was graphically all that exciting of the environments.
No, it's
simple, which makes it easy to loot and be efficient. Like, it's easy to quickly explore the floor and know, like, oh, I need to search every nook and cranny because there might be a hidden thing around the corner. The things you're missing are very kind of minor. So for me, it's just, I like how simple it is to make it efficient. I mean, I'm assuming you guys aren't in like, once you get to floor like 25, it changes to like a purple mechanical looking area. I know Liz hasn't gotten there and I'm sure Liz is farther than me. Yep. So I'm assuming you didn't get there.
15 was the highest I got to.
So I got into the 20s. I think I like, yeah, you're just about there. Didn't. Yeah.
Because after you beat the first boss, which I know you're like right at the first like major boss.
Yeah, because I did floor 17, and I didn't have enough for the chest, and then I did at least 5 more floors.
Yeah. But like I said, I changed the layout, and it hasn't changed for me since, and I'm about halfway. I've killed half of the bosses. So I'm like, is it going to change up again, please? Because I'm getting kind of sick of seeing the same areas. You're seeing the same classrooms, the same shops. Like I said, you're just visiting districts. You're not really free exploring. You're kind of just fast traveling these districts that are these small enclosed areas. So you are seeing a lot of the same areas. So graphically, this game's not that impressive. I will say, I do enjoy the designs of the personas. this is what I mean of like, I didn't know if this game is trying to go for some sort of message, but like the personas are kind of all over the place. And that's what I thought. Cause like you were each persona is based off like a tarot card. You know, you have the Hanged Man, you have Death, you have the Fool, you have the Magician, you have the Tower, a bunch of different things, but they're based off persona, like the tarot cards. But it's not like they really kind of fit a theme. Like if you just showed me a persona, I couldn't be like, oh yeah, that looks like it's a magician or he's part of the tower group. To me, they're just kind of all over the place.
I mean, maybe if you knew tarot cards well, you would, I guess, but
maybe
otherwise, yeah, I thought the designs were cool of them.
Yeah. I like a little cat shogun looking monster. And like, oh, this guy's adorable.
One of the guy, the Sandman. She looked like Catwoman.
Yeah. And a little guy with a moon fur face. And I was like, oh, a guy looks like me.
Good stuff.
My big chin.
Oh, it's funny because we both have big chins.
I know. For the longest time, my friend Brittany always called me Crescent because she said my face looked like a crescent moon. Like, oh, thanks for that. That was in high school, too. It's like, ah, that's great for my self-esteem.
That's exactly when you
immediately thought of crescent rolls.
Is it?
I immediately thought of crescent rolls when you said a crescent.
I mean, that might have worked for Andrew. Oh, so you said I got that
because I was fat? I had rolls? Is that what you're saying?
I cannot say that.
I mean, in high school, it might have worked a little for you, Andrew.
No, that's actually very true.
A little double meaning, I guess. Either way, not the time for that type of joke. Maybe whatever, I don't know.
High school was rough for me, man.
You know, you had friends like me.
Yeah. Well, we weren't friends really in high school. We just knew each other.
I was the nicest of your brother's friends to you, and there's no denying that.
You were. You were the one who gave me snacks and not helping me with my weight.
Well, there was that because I was the only one who was like, I don't know, I just also want to play video games. So, like, I'm just going to come play video games with Andrew because, I don't know, Aaron wanted to go do other stuff that I didn't want to do.
Yeah. We did play a lot of video games.
It's weird. We would not have, because we went to high schools near each other, but yeah. If we went to the same high school, we would not have dated.
Oh, well, I didn't really date anyone in high school.
Me either.
Yeah, so that's probably why we wouldn't have dated in high school.
Checks out.
But I don't know.
I just meant personality-wise.
You think you're that different of a personality?
I am a completely different person than I was in high school. I don't even...
I don't know. You looked like a dweeb, and I was pretty dweeby, too. We were both pretty dweeby people.
I saw an old prom picture today. I was going through an old box, and I was like, oh, geez. I just want to throw it out, but it's like it felt weird throwing it out, you know? Oh, that was bad.
I mean, I've got rid of most of mine. I went to one prom, and the picture, I will say it was hands down the worst picture I've ever taken in my entire life. It is so bad. I remember when my sister found it. She like literally just, I think she actually stole it because I don't know what happened to that picture. I would not be surprised if she stole it. I didn't ask her. It was so bad. It looked like I was having an allergic reaction. I got like stung by a bee. My eye was swollen and there's no reason for it. I did not get stung by a bee. I don't know why I looked like my eye was swollen.
Need to check it's in such with, a bad with picture. Your sister on this one now.
I know. Because I actually mentioned it before, like a couple months ago to somebody, and I was like, what happened to that picture? And if I find it, I'll put it up for our Discord.
I absolutely would not put up any pictures of me for school.
That one's for Patreon, Andrew.
You got to pay to see this picture. It would be worth paying. It's that bad of a picture.
It's either that or that's one of the Discord awards. You just get that picture on a shirt.
Ooh, I gotta remove I felt so bad for my date though. I didn't know that girl. It was kind of a blind date. It wasn't even my school's prom. Oh man, that's a story. But yeah, that was an awkward prom. But anyway, achievements. Get back to the game. Achievements. I gotta say it's actually a decent achievement on our game because the achievements are very easy.
Andrew, you got a gaming score of 345 out of 1,000 with 23 out of 48 achievements. And Keith and I have the same amount. We have 60 gamer score and we got the same 5 achievements.
I was just going to say, Andrew just said it's easy to get. And then 30 hours into the game and he's got 345.
Well, you interrupted me. You say that caveat of, yes, it's not a quick achievement game, but all the achievements are very easy to get. The ones that are hidden are obviously beat that boss, beat that boss, beat that boss. So you don't really need to reveal any of the secret achievements. But besides that, the achievements that are visible are, you know, max out social link, gain all the social links. They're all very easy. And as far as, unless you're being real bad at the game, I don't think any of her are really missable. Like, it's not like, oh, this one day you didn't hang out with this one dude, you lost that achievement, now you have to start a 60 plus hour game all over again. So luckily none of that. So that's why I say it's at least easy. The achievements are easy to get. It just takes time.
Fine. But still don't call it good for achievement hunters. If you're going to put 60 plus hours into a game to get 1,000 gamer score. Be
that picky.
I noticed the last couple episodes, you take something of mine and you fidget with it. And it's only been the last couple episodes that you've been doing it. But today it's my pen. And I'm like, I feel like we need to get Andrew a fidget spinner.
Oh, probably. I always like, especially now that I'm on camera, I'm like, I need to use something in my hands.
Well, this is the first week that we're sitting right next to each other. But last week you did it too. You took something of mine. I forget what it was.
No, I usually play with like nail clippers or something else on my desk that I have.
Yeah, we do that too.
Yeah. But anyway.
You can still do it. I wasn't shaming you. You can fidget with my pen.
No, let's get to our final thoughts here. Keith, I'm going to have you go first. Come on, say why this game was a pass for you.
So I think that Persona 3, is this a remake or something? Is that where the reload comes in, or is this just...
Yeah, this was originally this was only a PSP game.
Okay.
So most of these Persona games, I think, I mean, obviously none were on Xbox. They were on Nintendo or PlayStation. So that's why this has been a really big deal that Personas have now been coming out, and they've been on Game Pass.
Yeah, okay. Well, either way, it's an RPG. I think if it was just, I don't know, I guess focused more on being a battle RPG, I think I could have gotten more on board with it. But it just feels like a relationship management simulator with some battle aspects built into it. And I don't know if I wanted to do that.
What was that game?
Boyfriend Simulator that was on Game Pass. At least it was a roguelike. You know, maybe I'd go play that. Probably too harsh, but I didn't find enough of the things that I enjoyed about the game that I was doing enough. And even all of the things that I didn't like doing, they weren't long. It was just like Andrew had said, jump here, jump there, it was all just very directed and on rails. And I just didn't feel like there was a lot going on that really hooked me into apparently these riveting characters that I just found boring as all get up. So yeah, I think I'd like to do more of the battling. I thought that, you know, 8 different battle types of ways you could weaken and stun and all these things, and put more depth into that, make it more focused on that. And I probably would have a lot more fun with it. And I think that, you know, even we really kind of glossed over what could have been a really cool feature of it is this could have been a lot of a capture, like a monster capture type of RPG. And it's just like, yeah, it's kind of a neat aspect to it, but we're not really.
Would you capture them by shooting your gun at them?
Yeah.
I mean, that would actually explain the gun a little bit more.
Would it?
You shoot them to capture in a bullet, and then you shoot it through your head in order to summon it or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I didn't even really talk about that. I didn't care for that sequence. So, you know, I wouldn't tell somebody not to play it if they were asking me about it. I'd try to get a little more idea of what they're into and maybe get them to it or away from it. But it's not that I have anything against it or I hated it. I just, it was not for me. And so that's why it's a pass. I give it I'm going to do 79. Because that music, gosh, that music.
What about the music, Keith?
And overall, not bad. But the music that I couldn't stand, boy, I couldn't stand it.
So for me, everything Keith said, just the opposite. That's my review. No. So as I said, to me, this is a very good, if like art JRPG that you don't need to sit down and focus. If you want to, you can. I think for me, that was kind of grating on me. You know, as I've mentioned in this podcast, like to me, repetition can get on my nerves, especially audio repetition. Boy, does this game have it. I enjoyed the music at first. When I first listened to it, I'm like, this song hits it. It's great. But I'm already like 20 hours or ish so in the game, and I'm like, I am sick of this song. If I could have just turned the lyrics off, it'd be great. But I don't want to turn the sound off because I enjoyed the voice acting. So it's like, well, I'm kind of in a rough spot here. So I guess I gotta listen to this music. But I loved how simple the game kind of is. At first, I was like, a lot. Our Discord was talking about, they're like, oh, you need to play like 5 hours to kind of first start get into this game. And at first, I was like, that can't be accurate. No, you do not fight your first battle until about an hour or 20 minutes in the game, which took a very long time to get into. But once the game starts going, like, that's the thing. I forgot to mention this. I started to scream at the game a little bit where I'm just like, I want to, like, the game I felt like was putting me on a leash and I just want to be let off the leash. Let me explore the world. Let me start doing things.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
But that's also very typical for a JRPG. Like, that's not that surprising. But once the game started to, like, let me do it, I was having a lot of fun. I thought the combat system is very simple. Everything about this game is very simple, which is surprising because, like I said, there's a lot of mechanics in this game that it's teaching you and going over. It's giving you a quick text of, hey, let's explain this system. Okay, bye. Text gone. Hope you read it. Hope you remember it. There you go. But once you start playing, it's like, yeah, there really isn't too much going on that you really figure these things out. I think it's great for xCloud. Like I said, touch controls worked very well. I was able to quickly pick it up, play a little bit, save, put it down, and it worked great that way. The overall story didn't care for as much. It's starting to get a little interesting after, like I said, 20 hours. But I like the characters. That the characters are great. But for me, I'm going to give it an 85. Like I said, I can't fully recommend this to everyone. Like, as Key said, which I think is accurate, he says a negative. This game felt more like a romance life RPG with some battling in it. I felt like the battling was kind of more something a little bit on the side, but I thought it flowed well.
I just have to point out one thing you said about the music is that it fits that right away. One of the first times you run into the music, you're getting off the train to Puddles of Blood in Coffins, and it's this weird rap song. It does not hit at all.
I don't remember that.
It's doing that music when you're walking around the train station in Coffins and Blood. And that was my first experience going, what the heck is this music doing? Because this makes no sense right now. It is so out of left field. It's like Cassette Beasts, where the first time you wake up at that bed and it's a super serious, like, end roll credits type of song with the heavy level of lyrics. I'm like, I'm expecting something intense to be happening. Like, I'm going to get a pop-up battle within the first 5 minutes because there's this intense, crazy music. No, you're just walking around in Coffins and Blood. And then there's weird, creepy ghost boy. You're like, these nuts. And then you carry on and the game it did not make sense to me. It did not at all make any sense.
So for me, it almost hit a 90. I kind of talked myself down to an 89. I wanted more of everything. Like, I actually really like a lot of things that the game offers. It's just
more Junpei.
Yeah, I'm more character development because I like the characters. More story because I thought the story was interesting, but it's like it's very slow getting into it. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, I didn't put enough hours into it to know the full story, but I wanted them to like feed me a little bit more to keep me going. Same with like, I like the combat, but it's like I would like to see more, like, floors like that look different, more enemies. So just me being greedy, I think too, with wanting to do actual like more things, it kind of felt choppy, you know, the way that they set it up, where it's just like, oh, you hung out with them, next segment, oh, it's time to go to bed. So it did it felt very, very, very choppy, and I wish it was more fluid, but I don't really, you know, fault the game for that. It's just like the way that they designed it, and it works. I just being greedy. And looking at Metacritic for Series X, 87 and 9.1. And then Xbox One, TBD, and 8.1. So pretty high.
The gun mechanic still just blows my mind. Sorry for phrasing actually with that. I didn't mean that. But like, I still like, anytime I'm thinking about this game and I'm like, the way, like, they literally kind of done anything, any other way to summon the personas.
They could have easily made it 10% less and just been like, hey, start of battle. You do it one time and the personas are unleashed, and then you just Pokemon style, like, go do that thing, or make it a, or you could cut it to like 1% of it, and it's activated the very first time, like, you kind of find out that that character is able to do the thing, and then it just summons in battle because they've unlocked it with the weird gun mechanic in the first place. It was just, and it's a term I don't like, but it, like, fits is... It, like, Javier in the Discord used the term cringelord, and I'm like, ah, and like, it's like somebody was like, oh, this is so dark and brooding. It's, you shoot yourself in the head, and they just, and yeah, they just wanted you to just relive it over, and like, no, man, we're really edgy. We're edgy with this, and I could be so, so wrong about it.
But I don't know.
Man, it just felt like they just wanted you to feel like it was... I don't know. I didn't care for it, and it really put me off from the, like, as much as there is points, right? It didn't bother me every time. Every time it would, like, kind of register with me, I'm like, I don't like this.
I just, I hate that they don't explain it. Like, I thought for sure it was at least going to be some sort of, like, metaphor. Because, like,
exactly,
even to one point, you meet this character who gets bullied, and they're afraid that she's going to kill herself. And so you find her to save her because she got lost in the Tartarus. And one of your characters is just like, here, have this, and gives her a gun. And it's like, this makes no sense. Like, I don't get why the game did this and, like, not explain it. And we've had people on our Discord beat the game. And I'm like, do they ever explain the gun? He's like, no, not really. It's like, why did they do this?
I think it would turn a lot of people away from the game, too.
I don't blame them.
Like, yeah.
I'm surprised it doesn't.
Cringy thing.
I mean, with those scores, and that's where I would think that there's some, they would give you some, even if it was, and man, I feel like with that type of mechanic to go 60 hours to then be like, oh, and here's why we do this.
Yeah.
That's way too long. But at least if they did that at the end of the 60 hours, like, well, that's a lot, but okay, there's a reason, or some, here's five different reasons, and you can interpret your own reason, or depending on the ending is the reason. Like, nah, otherwise, it's just such a weird, empty thing that I hate so much.
Sorry, I know. Sorry I brought this back up again. It was just, like, once Liz was kind of talking about it, I'm just like, it just popped back in my
head. It's so bizarre. Like, it's weird that you just, like, get used to it.
Yeah.
It's so
I thought for sure you were going to summon it with the MP3 player. Because I felt like there was so much emphasis on the MP3 player and your main character.
They do talk a lot about the music, or at least people do talk a lot about the music in this, and I don't know. Yeah, I just...
By the way.
And even, in, I don't know, I especially now, like, I don't know when they finally released this on Xbox, but I'm almost surprised that they didn't have a way to be like, hey, you can turn this part off, like animations or something. I just, nope.
Have people do finger guns instead or something?
No, just don't have it. And you just be like, yeah, they just do the attack, or I don't know. There's a lot of things just do skip animations in general, and you just hit the button and then numbers pop up, and it's a way of speeding up games, usually, like turn-based RPGs.
What if, since this is the Xbox release of it, they added the grunt birthday party? So every time your character did it, did the grunt birthday party. Oh no, that'd actually be way darker.
Yes. Now we're going dark.
I know, but the whole thing is dark.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have any game suggestions, go to gamepassgrabbag.com. Brings you to our link tree. I also need to start adding our link tree into the show notes. But yeah, please tell us any games you want us to come visit. We also join our Discord. Our Discord's a lot of fun. We love interacting with our listeners there. I'm giving away stickers there as well. I don't know. Check out our Patreon. We have some episodes there. I don't know. I'm going to wrap it up here. Anyway, I've been Hardcore Gamer Sanji. You can find me on Xbox Live, Firebirds, U152.
I've been Keith.
Keith. Yeah, you got to review all, I guess, all our Discord listeners.
It's at least like Squid, Clarence, Javier. Am I missing anyone? Camo Frog. Is Camo on this one too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry if you are. No, I'll still stick with the 90, but you're all getting 90s this week because I did not like it.
Liz looks like you're ready to fall asleep.
No, I had a coffee. I stopped drinking coffee at 4. I'm going to be up all night. My brain won't shut off.
Nice.
I'm just physically getting tired.
Liz is running Overwatch with us tonight, Andrew.
I probably could stay up as late as you guys did. I mean, I'm not going to.
It's like me and Max. Listening. Like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'm not going to do it, but it sounds awesome.
And I'm Liz Noob, Gamertag, coming. I'm Dean, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Liz Noob, Noob, AZW.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for joining. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.